welcome back to Are You From That Show, the podcast brought to you by Jordan and Hattie. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 5 of our second season. This week, we're thrilled to bring you the amazing Devon Anderson, who Jordan and I chatted with last week from our owner homes over Skype. We hope you enjoy the episode. Please do give us a like so other people can find us too. Thank you. Devon began his acting career at the age of 3. He then went on to star in EastEnders, playing Billy Jackson, appearing in the Spice World movie, and starring as the lead character in the CBBC sitcom Ka-Ching. He became a CBBC presenter shortly afterwards, before starring in a variety of shows, including Hollyoaks, Casualty, Doctors, and Sinbad. Welcome, Devon.
What a cool intro.
How is it hearing back your life's work before you?
It's interesting. I forget a lot of the stuff that I did, to be honest with you. But it's cool. It's always cool. It's always good to remember what you've done.
Yeah.
So you were 3 when you started.
Yeah, I started really young because I had really long hair as a kid. I got into like modeling. So like I was in like my little wire fronts in like catalogs and stuff like that, selling. I always remember I was selling when the Super Mario movie came out, they had like little Super Mario boxer shorts, and I was like dead happy to be in like the movie version of that.
So. Oh, amazing. Were any of your family involved in it as well?
In acting, no, not at all. Like, there's no acting background in my family, which is strange. It's just kind of something that progressed from modeling. I think I had like castings for shows, and I got with my first agent, which was Sylvia Young. I was just with them ever since, to be honest with you.
Jordan was also with Sylvia's, weren't you?
I absolutely was, yeah.
I remember Jordan for some... I really remember Jordan because I watched My Parents Are Aliens as well. So, like, again, I'm sure we'll get into it, but, like, another person that represents you on the screen, you instantly, they're instantly your favourite. You're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that. I can relate to that kid. So, like, I remember Jordan as well.
I remember you as well, Devon. I'm sure we met at auditions.
We would have been competing. That's the thing. At that age, there's certain kids that you actually learn to hate them. Because yeah. You're always going up for the same things. There was only a couple, a handful of jobs at that time for us. So you'd see the same kids who would ultimately just become your rival. You wouldn't know them, but you'd be like, that's that kid. He's going to take food from my table. So we probably weren't friends then, to be honest. But yeah, get older.
I think what's really like rare about you, Devon, like, as one of our guests, is that you did so much stuff as a child. That you're not known for, like, most guests we've had on, like, they're known for, like, one show. But you've got, like, 3 or 4 things that people would know you from when you were younger.
Yeah, that's really cool, to be honest. It's good that that's the case. I feel very lucky to have been able to stay consistently working and not just one thing. Obviously, as you get older, it gets harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder. And, you understand the industry a lot more, but like I feel now that I look back, it's a very cool thing that I was able to do.
What was it like starting? So you started off and it was modeling, and then EastEnders straight away, or was there something in between?
Yeah, pretty much it was EastEnders straight away, just boom. At the time I had no knowledge of how big it is or what I was involved in.
Yeah.
When you look back at certain things, and we used to have like people, I remember we were shooting Bianca's wedding. It was crazy. It was nothing to me, but I remember at the time there'd been a lot of people found out where it was.
Yeah.
And I just remember being in cars at certain points and like people banging on the windows and, oh my god, it's this and it's that, and just being a kid, you don't know what you're part of. Like EastEnders to me was just like, I just go and just do whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I was part of a cult show for a long period of time as well, which is crazy.
How old were you?
I started when I was six, and I was there for 4 years.
Wow.
So the first stint. So it must have just flown by, to be honest. So it's quite a long time.
Yeah, it's a hell of a long time.
I think at that age, it's instinct, because I can't remember a lot. I actually randomly went on YouTube the other day and watched one where it was like a big storyline. I didn't realize at the time how big the storyline was when he got kidnapped. I went back and watched. It wasn't even a choice. My girlfriend's kid found me on YouTube, and then he just kept getting them up, and I was sitting there cringing. But then I was looking back and caught some episodes.
Yeah,
it was like a really big storyline. It was like, oh, these bank robbers, and they kidnapped him. What was funny, it was like a bank robber's girlfriend had infiltrated the school, and she was a teacher, and she was distracting my mum, and I was getting led away with Mars bars, and it was all very dramatic. And I was like, wow, it's crazy to be part of.
At what point did you realize that you were part of this massive show?
I don't think during my entire time at EastEnders, I don't think it dawned on me at all. I think I then went on to the Spice Girls movie, and again, I didn't really think about how big it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it got until around my teenagers, like deep into Kaching, that I really clocked the levels of things that I was doing. I mean, to just being in, like, when I look back and go and be involved with the Spice Girls in their movie, like,
yeah,
we watch it now and it's cheesy, but like, it's like working with the Beatles and stuff like that. They are iconic things. So to be part of that movie, and I look at the people that they had involved in it as well, just the cameos, you just go, wow, I was really lucky. Like, I remember being like, at the time, I was at that age where it was like, ugh, girls are disgusting. Oh, and they'd be hugging me and kissing me and be like, oh, we love you. And like, it was the Spice Girls, like, really being in front of you, just being normal, and you're just like, oh, just not taking it for granted. I was locked in an ambulance with them at one point, because obviously I had to hide the Spice Girls and stuff. And they were just going about the day and they were talking about stuff. And I remember being there when Victoria first started seeing David Beckham.
Wow.
She was talking about him, and you're a kid, you just don't think about these moments, but I was there for him, and it was like, oh god, she was talking about David Beckham.
Yeah.
it's really crazy, surreal.
What were people like at school then? Did you used to have to go away and then come back?
Yeah, school was an interesting one, because when I was, I don't remember it, people being very like, oh my god, like that. I think the school that I went to school in like South London, so it was like quite a hard school. So it was a bit like, it wasn't an advantage, to be fair. It was just something that they could pick on you for. Like, some schools you don't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
And probably my school was probably one of those where you just don't want to be that guy. But I don't think anyone really cared, funny enough, when I was at school. I don't have any recollection of people being like in awe or treating me any better. If anything, it was probably worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, school was very in and out. Mm-hmm. In and out. I mean, on Kaching, we had tutors.
And for you also, that would have been for a very long time, from like what sort of age of six to like probably like what, 15, 16?
Probably 26. Longer than that. Kaching went from 14 to 18. I think we had four seasons of that. So it was quite a large part of my school. But in all honesty, I didn't finish. I didn't complete it, because I was so busy. Which is something that I'm disappointed in myself, because I know that, like, I'm quite an intellectual person. And
yeah,
I mean, if I wasn't acting, I wanted to do law.
Wow. It's
something that I've always wanted to do. I love, like Liar Liar was one of my favorite films. Yeah. Firstly, because Jim Carrey is amazing. So I've always been a secret lawyer, I wanted to be. But alas, I've chosen this career.
Strangely, side, I imagine actually there's a lot of performance in being a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, something that I've learned through acting, I think a skill that we've learned, is to read people.
Yes.
Because I watch people so often, it's very difficult to lie to an actor, because you just have to, people have tells, and just human nature, they just give themselves away. So it's like, I feel like in law it would be really good, because you'd be like, I know they're lying, I'm onto this.
Their arms moving.
Yeah, you just go, that's not normal, you wouldn't do that.
Do you think that also, like, one thing about that being able to tell when you're being lied to, do you think that also goes back to the fact that you, from, you know, 3 years old, have spent most of your life as a child, you were around adults.
It does make you grow up really quickly, because you don't think about how adults you're around. I mean, even when I was at EastEnders, I didn't think that my brothers and sisters, for instance, like Dean Gaffney, mm-hmm. who played Robbie, I don't actually remember how young he was. Like, he was probably about 15, 16, but they seem older.
Yeah.
And they've got stuff going on as well. So it's crazy to mix, to grow up in that way must be insane. Like, it grows you up really quickly, I think.
Even back to what you were saying with being at school and kids treating you in a different way, yeah. being like, you know, an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you're not used to that.
Not at all.
That's something that even adults, like we as adults, don't even get that in like a normal workplace. You kind of have to deal with like office politics.
I'm but just glad there was no social media.
Oh, wow.
I feel sorry for the kids now, because I like literally people see stuff and then they just spurt out their opinions. Luckily, we didn't have that because I reckon we would have been a meme or something. And I'm not ready to be a meme anytime soon. So I just think there's certain things that the introduction of social media is applies a lot more pressure to these kids now. I'd understand why it would cause more like internal conflict, because people just able to comment on your work as well. I mean, I learned that as I got older, when you start to listen to other people's criticisms of you, mm-hmm. who aren't necessarily in the industry, it mm-hmm. actually changes your performance and it changes you as an actor. Hollyoaks, for example, they have forums and stuff like that on soaps that are quite harsh in general. Mm-hmm. And I think if you read those, it can change your performances and stuff like that. It's social media can be quite intense, I think.
So have you made a decision not to read stuff like that?
I'm a big bad age now. That would be probably a decision that I would make. But when you're 18 mm-hmm. and you're impressionable and all you want to do, I think ultimately all you want to do is be loved and praised and stuff like that. So you seek it. However, it might not necessarily be your natural instincts. You might change your character because someone said this about you, or, you know, it's quite sad, to be honest. Like, but I'm glad that I've reached a certain point in my career now that I understand that, no offense, that sometimes I would rather have another actor praise me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've had older actors that I look up to being like, you're really good. And now I take more pride in that than necessarily other people's views on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that people watch stuff and they're entitled to their opinion. But to get to that place in the first place, to get on something like Hollyoaks or to get something like EastEnders, they don't understand the competition that we've had to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that we've had to battle against and beat to prove that we're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you get there, and then to face criticism can be...
How did that work for you? Did you ever feel like it was a competition, even when you auditioned for things like EastEnders and Ka-Ching and Hollyoaks? Or did it just feel like something you were just doing?
I think early on, it's just something that you're doing. I think it was when you're that young, it's an instinct, and it's I didn't train.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Sylvia Young on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
And just did classes there. But I don't feel like I trained. Like, it's stuff as simple as like breaking down scripts and stuff like that, I didn't do it for like maybe 20 years of my life.
Yeah.
Big jobs, and I still didn't do it. And that's probably a regret that I do have, because those things completely change how you're performing. So while I am proud of what I did on instinct, I imagine if I'd had some training and guidance and stuff like that, things could be even better than they are.
When you are a child actor and you're right, you are dealing purely off of instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're right, if you don't have that period where you then maybe come away from the industry,
mm-hmm.
go to drama school, maybe really treat it as a craft and then come back, you're then combining your instinct with the training.
Yeah.
But you kind of like, I felt the same. When I met Hattie at drama school when I was 19, and I remember my drama, one of my teachers telling me, you have a box of tricks.
Mm.
And that's what you use. You've got, there are things that you do that you know will work in a scene or will work in a situation, but you're not thinking about it.
Mm.
And he's like, that's not you connecting. That's not you treating this like a different character or role. You're just doing things that you know will work in the moment.
I think some of my proudest work is from Ka-Ching.
Mm.
When I watch it back, the reason I'm really, really proud is like there's decisions that we're making as children, comedy wise. Comedy is very, very, very difficult. And some of it I watch now and I'm like, that is genius. Like not just myself. I mean, obviously not myself. Yeah. There's a lot of people that were nailing stuff in that show, in our show as a whole. And you see them grow on their own without training. For instance, Tendai, who plays Seymour, mm-hmm. who was like Taj's best friend. You get that kid when you go to a read through and it really struggled with reading. I don't know if he was dyslexic or he couldn't read or whatever. And it was, our read throughs were very, very long. And I know it was hard for him. And then the next season, he just got better and better. Like he was very uncomfortable, you could tell. And then he felt comfortable. He got into his comfort zone with that character. And he was able to express himself and do his own little things. And it just, each year, the character's elevated. Another reason that I'm really proud of Kuching as a whole is the whole diversity thing that we're trying to do now. This mm-hmm. being force-fed. I think that show was created. The lady who came up with it actually made it for her son. He was mixed race and he didn't have anything to represent him on screen. And she said she wanted to make a show for him. So Taj is actually based on her son. And when I look back at that show, like the influences were really good. Like he had his mom, his dad had died and his mom was a single parent, but she was always working and she was a nurse, which I found was nice, just a nice job. And then the kids were, there was nothing ghetto about it or anything like that. There was, he was making £1 million for his mum. So he's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So that message in itself was like, he's trying to make £1 million for his mum. And the guests that we had in, we had some legendary guests as well. We had Ainsley Harriott, Gina Yashere was on the show. We had the guy from Face Jacker. I don't know what his name was.
I know who you mean.
Yeah, yeah, the guy from Face Jacker was actually in the show.
Yes. I think it begins with B. I know who you mean, though.
Yeah. But it was just cool that it was him. I didn't know it was him as well. And then we had people from Desmond's.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize how cool those guests actually were. And it was just really good. We had, yeah, Ram John Holder, his name is, from Desmond's. He played Pork Pie.
Yeah.
He was a legend, came through. And it was just like, I just think that show is a really good example of diversity. Like there was literally everyone, it was black, white, Asian, the guests, it was all mixed and it didn't feel forced. That was just what it was.
What was it like playing a lead role? Did you ever feel pressure with that?
Yeah, it's weird. I loved it. It was very time constraining, to be honest with you. I was literally, before it became a bit more ensemble, I was in every scene. If not every scene, I was in every other scene. When I think about it, it was a lot of work, but it never seemed difficult. It was always fun. We had so much fun on that show. You could just imagine, like, just teenagers from...
It looked like you were having a lot of fun, that show.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was literally from 14 to... I think our oldest was, like, 21. And it was just... You can imagine that age group and so many of us.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the crew. To be honest with you, like now I'm older, I can appreciate certain things, but when I was there, like the giggles, for instance, there was one scene that we did once, and we went, like, it must have been like 28 takes.
No,
which is ridiculous, but just through giggles. And our director had to shout at us, like, he proper shout at us, and we were like, well, best calm down. But he told me afterwards, he was like, I found it just as hilarious.
Yeah,
but like the only way to get you guys to focus was to just shout at you.
That's wicked. How did that feel, though? Like, it must not have felt like work.
It didn't at all. Like, there were times when it got long, and obviously, like, people just want to get stuff done, and it can feel like work then when you're getting told off. But other than that, we were just able to experiment and play and find our own humour. It was really good. It was a great time, to be honest with you. One of the best jobs, I think, for me, just in terms of enjoyment, end result, and what they were achieving that I didn't actually know that we were achieving at the time.
So how old were you when that finished?
I finished Kuching at 18. I think we did four seasons.
That's an interesting age, I think, 18, when you've been acting all your life. To get to 18 at that, and that point, when you're an adult and you can go out and go for drinks and you're no longer a child.
Yeah, I always had a sense of independence during Kuching as well, because for your age group of like 14, you're making a amount of money.
Yeah.
Not a large, but like, I mean, when it first started, I was under 16. So the wage wasn't that great. But, you know, when you're in every single episode, it's fine. It makes up for it. But then you hit 16 and they up your money and it's like, woo!
Yeah.
I'm 16. I've got money. Like, I can look after myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's made me very independent. That's something that I did gain from that, is I never had to rely on my mum for anything. It was more so, because I've just got my mum, it was more so I took a more leading role
in,
I was able to help my mum rather than her help me.
That's really mature of you, because I remember when I first started getting the post 16 money, I was buying CDs, I was buying all, I remember I went to Amsterdam when I was 17 with some friends, and we just went mental. Mental. My family was, we're a very working class family, so same as you, when I had that independence, it was like, wow, I've suddenly got money where, like, you know, I didn't have this before. Like, and it was just, it was a crazy splurge. Like, I remember 16 to 19 were crazy years enjoying it. And it's kind of like, it's good that you had that maturity, though.
There's one thing that, like, now that I look back on, and I, throughout career and things that I've done, is I don't feel like there's enough of a safety net or education of what to really expect, the real things to expect when you go into this industry, in terms of how you should looking after your money. I think it very much depends on your upbringing. Not everybody's brought up with the value of money and what you should do with it, or, you know, invest into a house, or advice for young actors. I don't feel like there's, in the way that it should be. I think unless you enter into a job and an older person just takes to you and wants to give you advice, then I don't think it's there otherwise. And I think there's a lot of I've seen a lot of young actors as well go a certain way once they get money and stuff like that, with no one to guide them. And I think it's quite simple as someone older who has been there to be like, oh, this is what you should look out for when the industry actually hits. Because I think in drama school, I didn't go to drama school, but like even lessons and stuff, they don't tell you about some harsh things that you're going to see that you might not be ready with. I think when you're young, you're impressionable.
That's really interesting.
It is that period between probably 16 to 20, where if you are working consistently, and you are earning money, and I imagine that if you were maybe American, you would have a manager. But over here, because we have an agent who doesn't necessarily have that same level of control of your life the way a manager would, you're relying on your parents. And I guess if your parents don't know the industry themselves,
don't know the industry, yes.
And they've got their own jobs and lives, they can't. And you seemingly are independent. You've been off on film sets and you've been doing things that probably maybe they've got no idea how to deal with.
It's literally a case, it's no disrespect to certain parents, but like I don't come from an acting background, so my mum had no experience with the industry, so like she didn't know what I was getting into, so she can't give the advice or, you know, or prepare for like money coming in or other things. So I think that depending on your background, like not everybody comes from a sensible background. You have to learn these things, and if you're not strong in yourself at those ages that you're talking about, 18 19 20, that's where, you know, you've got money, you're gonna rebel and stuff like that. There needs to be some advice there, not necessarily to like tell you what to do, but there should be someone that you look up to, maybe to tell you that. I mean, some shows have that, they have like a mentoring scheme.
Cool.
Which is a lovely idea if it's implicated. I had a mentor in two of the soaps, and I don't think I spoke to either of my mentors at them. But I think it's different if you have a mentor that you can relate to, or if you're matched with someone similar to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think then that's easier for the process. But I think my mentor on one of the shows, we were just very polar opposites.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel like I could go to them. And also, when I was younger, I didn't see my agent as working for me. Mm-hmm. When you're younger, you think they're doing you a favor as well. So I wouldn't ever go to my agent with like problems or things like that, because you think, oh, they're a big person that I have to impress all the time, which isn't the case. But when you're young, you always just want to impress your agent.
Yeah, I've struggled with that when I was younger as well, I think. Okay. Like leaving drama school and getting a different agent to who I had when I was younger.
That's another, like, if we're talking about when we look back at things, it's no disrespect to my agent. I had my agent from the age of, literally, they got me when I was 6. And then I only changed agent recently. I went to a big agent. Well, they're not that big, but I went to an agent. But I had been with my agent for my entire career. And I know that now that there were so many opportunities for me to raise the bar each time. And I didn't, because nobody knew the industry, because my mum didn't know the industry, I didn't know that you're supposed to progress.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually supposed to. And I ended up just loyalty. It was more of a loyalty thing. And then as I got older, I realized that loyalty doesn't pay the bills for me. It doesn't work for me. They have other clients that, you know, they're still getting money. But when I'm getting like 6 auditions in a year, something's not right there, and you have to learn to move on, kind of thing. It's weird. It was a very strange experience when I left my agent, because I'd only known them, and I wasn't used to like applying to other agencies and stuff like that, and I didn't know about moving up and who to go to as well, like when you leave. So it's something I learned.
So tell me, how did you find that transition then from when you finished Ka-Ching at 18 to being an adult actor?
I don't know what it was, but like from a child to like my 20s, every single year without doubt, I was working. I was getting, I didn't audition very much, but I was always proud that I was 1 in 3. I'd always get 1 in 3 of jobs.
Yeah.
Always. And I'd be like, yeah, this is fantastic. Like as a kid, I just always worked. So after Ka-Ching, I got, I think I went straight into Hollyoaks. So literally I went from one recurring to another recurring and a soap as well. So it's not, you know, money's there as well. So I didn't find the transition too tough there yet, to be honest. It was pretty smooth. It was pretty smooth. Yeah.
So for you, like getting recognized.
Yeah.
What did people recognize you for? Everything or like?
To this day, like, I'll still Ka-Ching. Ka-Ching's up there.
Yeah.
Ka-Ching's probably top. Yeah. Like, I've been like, everyone watches it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been out before, and I think I was at a petrol station, and this guy came, he's hooded up. He's like, your blood. I was like, okay, it's on now. I'm about to get robbed.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, blood. I watched you in prison, you know. he was actually like, I watched you in Ka-Ching in prison, bro. I'm pretty sick. Like, literally, you can't, like, I think every day that I leave my house, someone will recognize me from Ka-Ching.
Yeah.
But I think because of the jobs that I've done, they tick every age group.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like Ka-Ching, okay, you might only remember me for a certain time being a certain age. And then there's like EastEnders, which like 10 million people watch. So even if you don't watch it, it's in the background.
Yeah.
So you know who someone is.
Also, then, over two different time periods. You were when you were
young
child.
And then I went back. Adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's getting recognized is crazy. It's got its pluses and its minuses. Like there's that awkward teenage age where you don't want that attention. It's the last thing you want. And it's like, you'll be out. Part of being in a soap that's quite difficult is like, you'll be out, you'll be having a good time, and then you'll hear something like, Hollyoaks is shit! Or like, people deliberately go out of their way to wind you up.
Yeah.
That's where it gets really difficult, is because I'm an extrovert, but I'm quite quiet, and I like to just chill. If I go somewhere, I just want to just blend in. Because when you've had that for like 20 years of your life, just someone always shouting something. It could be positive, it could be negative, but it's always there.
Yeah,
it takes quite a lot of patience. I think I don't read into a lot of things sometimes, because sometimes you'll hear, you know, people have lost their tempers, or, you know, when you hear like footballers have had a fight and everyone's like, oh, you can't do that. But you've got to understand, every day of my life. Another thing is, people would say a lot of jokes about things like, oh, I thought you were supposed to be dead. To them, that'll be their first, you know, it's hilarious. It's the first they've come up with it. And they're like, ah, funny me. Yeah. I've heard said jokes in every single way a million times. And it gets difficult to, people end up thinking that you've got an attitude problem or something, because what you've got to think is, this is the 100th time I've heard this joke.
Yeah.
And I've not responded in the way that you're expecting me to respond.
Mm.
I can come across as a horrible person. Like, so I understand, like, when people meet their favorite celebrities, for instance, and they're like, oh, he was rude, so up his own bum, you know, how dare he be like this? What you've got to understand is, they've had this so many times before.
Mm.
Like, I remember I met Thierry Henry.
Ah,
yeah, he was the dream. It was on my birthday.
Yeah.
Someone hooked me up to go like into the car park, and I got to meet everyone.
Ah, it's amazing.
And Thierry Henry came down, he had his headphones on, proper swagger, and I was like, oh my God, Thierry Henry, he's my idol. Like, I love this. And he was very like nonchalant, and it like, I thought he was rude. But when you think about it, like, this is every day. You can't make every single person that you meet feel special.
Yeah.
And it's hard, because, you know, you are a hero to some people. To this day, it's so strange that people, when they see me, are like, you were my childhood.
Mm.
You were my childhood. You were this, like, you're an inspiration, because I never saw anyone like me on TV, and you were doing good things. And like, I've heard it throughout the years, and it didn't gain weight until a lot later on. When you think about like childhood shows that you watched, they were instantly your heroes.
Yeah.
Stuff like Chuckle Vision. I look up to those guys.
Yeah.
I got to meet, like, I think it was Paul. I met Paul in like a random student night that I went just to see him, because I was like, I've got to get a picture with Paul Chuckle. But you're like, oh, you're my childhood. And he's there, he's sipping with his wife in the student thing. And it just blows all your expectations up.
Devin, this is hard to say, but I think we're gonna have to wrap up.
I know, it's a long one, sorry.
But
it's so good.
it's amazing. I think Hattie, you always say this, that we could talk for hours with our guests, but I think with you, there's so much that we...
Oh, there's loads.
...could still go on and talk about.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm sorry I took up the time as well.
I think, Jordan, we've got time for one last question, maybe, just about what, Devin, you'd say to young people trying to get into the industry now.
Good question. I think... People always say, should you get into the industry? 100%. If it's what you enjoy, be prepared to, it is, acting is the love of my life. I love it. And but it can be hard. You get to a certain age and things get tough. It gets tougher. Attention as well. Like I was saying, every single day, sometimes you don't want that. And that's why I'm enjoying people are always like, are you still an actor? Do you still act? And they ask those questions. We get the same questions all the time. We bump into other actors. What are you doing at the moment? And it's loaded. And you're like, oh God, what do I say? Well, I was down to the last two for this role. And they were like, oh yeah, but that was just the last two. You didn't get it. So it's quite pressuring sometimes. But if it's what you truly love, and you'll know whether you can be without it or you can't be without it, 100% get into it. Expect that you might be quiet, but also know that, like, one job changes everything. And just because people might not see you on TV, so they don't quote you as an actor, it doesn't mean that it's the end. Like, have a break if you want a break. I'm enjoying having a break. And then you just rebrand every time. But 100%, yeah, get into it. Fantastic.
Devin, you're an inspiration.
No.
That was really succinct. That was really, like, really good advice, I think.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was brilliant.
Wish I prepared it.
Thank you so much to Devin for coming on the podcast. And thank you to George for providing the music. You can find him at soundcloud.com/George. That's JAUGE. Tune in next time. See you later.